Hello. So good to see so many faces here. I am Stephanie. I'm the lead pastor here at Olivet. My voice is starting to go, so we'll get through this together, though. Was it a silent night? Angels singing glory to God, shepherds gathering at a newborn's bedside, a city so full with people that the only place to give birth was in a stable. The cries of a mother as she gives birth, and then the cries of that baby as he enters the world. Was it a silent time, even? After 400 years of silence between the Old Testament and New Testament, all of a sudden, there was a lot of noise. Angels appearing to people with messages from God. Mary bursting into song when she's told she's going to be the mother of the Messiah. Well-meaning neighbors talking to each other about the events that are happening, gossiping maybe. A census that drew attention of people into their hometown, all of these people into the hometown of Bethlehem. When Jesus was born, there was hardly silence. There was a lot of noise, and this noise was the fulfillment of a promise in the most unexpected way. If you've been journeying with us for the last number of months, we have walked through the story of God as written in Scripture, beginning in Genesis, and this is what we are celebrating tonight, the birth of Jesus Christ, the fulfillment of all we've looked at. We started in the story of the Garden of Eden when God created the first humans, and we saw how God demonstrates great care for his people. He plants a garden for them. He walks with them. We get a sense of this deeply personal relationship that God has with people, deeply engaged with the day-to-day life of all of us. We journey to when the people of God were slaves in Egypt and how God heard their cries. And then God used one of his anointed ones, Moses, to save his people out of Egypt. We walked with the people through the wilderness until they were about to enter the land that was promised to them. And then Moses taught them all the commands that were important, but the one that was most important, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. God was forming his people to be a people of love, to love God and to love people. And then we journeyed into the beginning of the kingdom of Israel as God placed a call on King David's life and on the monarchy as a whole to be one of a shepherd king. This is a different picture of monarchy than we see in the surrounding nations. Not someone who would rule with an iron fist, but guide, care for people, nurture people. Also with King David, God made the promise that after David comes to the end of his life, God would one day raise up someone of his own flesh and blood, of David's flesh and blood, who will rule forever. God promised, I will be his father, and he will be my son. And even through generations of corrupt kings, the people held to this promise of God. Even through a time of exile, when the people of God were forcibly removed from their homes and dispersed into a foreign land, still the people held to this promise of God. Even when there was silence from God for years and years, still the people held to this promise from God that the king was coming. The one true anointed one of God who would save his people and reign forever. The king was coming. The one true anointed one of God who would save his people and reign forever. Into the silence, and after years of waiting, a baby is born. But not just a baby born of a young woman, insignificant in the eyes of many, a baby born in humble beginnings of a stable because, as we all know, there was no room at the inn. A baby born among animals, laid to rest in the feeding trough that the animals used, whose very first visitors were lowly shepherds, hardly the company a king would keep. And we might ask ourselves, what kind of king is this? I would suggest to you that Jesus is the kind of king the people needed and is the kind of king we continue to need. Rather than a ruler with a mighty arm or some kind of military giant, the humble beginnings of King Jesus show us God's vision of the kingdom of God that is decidedly unexpected. And yet, is it really unexpected? To envision a God who would choose to humble himself for the sake of his people, perhaps this is exactly what God has done through this entire journey. I appreciate the words of the late author Rachel Held Evans in her book, inspired, slaying giants, walking on water, and loving the Bible again. It's a great book. And she discusses the humbleness of God and how he interacts with those he loves. She writes this, and I'm going to read this quote because it's so good. One of the most central themes of Scripture itself, God stoops. From walking with Adam and Eve through the Garden of Eden to traveling with the liberated Hebrew slaves in a pillar of cloud and fire, to slipping into flesh and eating, laughing, suffering, healing, weeping, and dying among us as part of humanity. The God of Scripture stoops and stoops and stoops and stoops. At the heart of the gospel message is the story of a God who stoops to the point of death on a cross. Dignified or not, believable or not, ours is a God perpetually on bended knee, doing everything it takes to convince stubborn and petulant children that they are seen and loved. This is who God is. This is what God does. From the very beginning, God showed himself as a God who stoops, who humbles himself to the people he loves, which is all of humanity. Even when people turned away from him time and time again, he never turned his back on fulfilling the promises that he made out of his great love for them. And all of this leads to what we are celebrating on this night, that the humble King has come, that God's chosen and anointed one, Jesus, is born in humility, God's ultimate gift of love. John writes, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us." Jesus began as a baby, grew up among us people, experienced the highs and lows of life, and never faltered from that posture of love and humility. Through the Christmas story, we see the posture of love and humility very clearly, the way that God stoops and loves. God could have chosen any woman to be the mother of the Messiah. He could have chosen a very wealthy, well-connected woman, and yet he chose a young but faithful, poor but kind girl, a girl who would then articulate through a beautiful song a very strong grasp of who God is and what he was doing. She sings, "He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors." Mary understood that what was happening to her was the fulfillment of God's promises. In choosing shepherds to be the recipients of the announcement from the angels, God was aligning himself with people considered by society to be the very lowest of low class, stooping yet again. And yet, not only do they receive the announcement of the birth of the Messiah, they also then become messengers as well. They become preachers of the good news themselves, as they spread the good news to all who would listen. God subverts our expectation by choosing these very unlikely preachers. And yet this choice echoes the very words of Mary again in her song. "He has brought down rulers from their throne, but has lifted up the humble." By God aligning himself with shepherds, he in turn lifts them out of their humble state, demonstrating the very purpose of the kingdom of God that Jesus would continue to show throughout his entire life and ministry, as time and time again, Jesus aligned with those who are marginalized or humiliated by society. The birth of Jesus Christ that we have come together to acknowledge tonight is a demonstration of God's humbleness and a demonstration of his great love for all people. All these little details about Christ's beginnings, these humble, humble beginnings, show a posture of love for all people and how the birth of Christ is not just good news for the Hebrews, not just good news for the shepherds and those who were there, but it is good news for all of us. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Jesus didn't come as a mighty ruler ready to dole out condemnations, but he came in a manner of love. And in that posture of love and humility, he shows how truly mighty and good he is. My hope for all of us today is that we would hear the good news that Mary sang, that the angels tell us about, that the shepherds then preached about, and understand that it's good news for all of us. I pray that you know that you are seen and loved by God. And I pray that you know the humble King and Messiah, who is worth devoting our entire lives to. No one is more deserving of all of this adoration and praise and attention than our humble King Jesus. The King has come. The humble, nurturing, loving King has come. Glory to God in the highest heavens. Let's pray together. Humble and good God, we thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for the way that you have fulfilled your promises to all people through Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. As we consider Christ's sacrifice and how he chose to humble himself, may that lead us all to the same kind of humble posture in the way we live. And God, we thank you that you are the God who stoops, who does not stay far away, but is intimately involved with and caring about our day-to-day lives. May we know your love and rest in your love today. We pray all of this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who is our Lord and Savior, the one true humble King, and the Messiah who has come. Amen.